Our scripture reading comes this morning from two passages in the New Testament, two letters, the first being the letter of Paul to the Philippians, verses that we are very common to us, we know very well. If you're following along in the large print Bible, 1829 is the page number. If you're following in the small print, 1140. Philippians 3, 12 to 14. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind me and straining toward what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Our second reading comes from Hebrews 12, that great book of faith, that chapter of faith beginning in Hebrews 12, verse 1, page 1877 in large print, 1170, if you're following along in the small print Bible. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Run with perseverance the race marked out for us. This is indeed the word of our Lord. Last week we looked at living faith, part one, what is faith? This morning I want to take a few minutes, and as we lead up to the communion table today, the Lord's table, to look at how we are encouraged in our race of faith. And I found a joke. You know I had to have a joke, right? I thought this was pretty cute, considering my experience back in the days of HVAC, of being in the heating and cooling business, and at Sears and at Direct Energy, and Direct Energy being a gas company. I thought this was kind of cute. So there seems to be a story. There was one day, you know, the guys that drive down the street back in the day before they had wireless technology, they'd drive down the street in their van and they'd come up to your house to check your meter, want to make sure how much gas you had used. So one day a couple of service guys come up to the end of this alley, and there's a whole bunch of houses up on the alley, and they go up the alley and they're taking down all the meter readings. And they come up to the last house and they take down the meter reading. And there's a woman looking out her front window as they're taking down the reading from the meter. So she's watching them. And then one of the servicemen says, "Well, we're all done here. I'll challenge you to a race. Okay, let's see who's the fastest. Who's the first person that can get back to the truck?" And they take off running, right? Running as fast as they can back to the truck. And as they're getting up to the truck, they realize the woman who was looking out the window is right behind them. And they stop and they look at her and they say, you know, she was huffing and puffing, and they say, "Why are you racing?" "Well, whenever I see two gas service people running that fast, I thought I'd better run with you." Let us repeat our prayer of affirmation this morning. In a moment. There we go. Lord, this morning, we are going to learn through the written word and the spoken word that we may know your living word, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. So how are we encouraged in living in the messiness of life in God's presence? You might remember last week we had a definition of what living faith was. That was, we've defined it as a lifestyle of living in the messiness of life in the presence of God. A lifestyle of living in the messiness of life in the presence of God. Now, how many people here are suffering Olympic withdrawal? We just went home and we just turned the TV on and there was snow or ice. And someone was racing or running or throwing rocks. Slinging rocks. And we just got used to it. Then all of a sudden they stop. And it's all over. But we remember my favorite, the downhill ski races, right? And cross country and speed skating. Not this stuff they've made up just to give out medals. I'm sorry. Not that we know anything about getting medals in hockey or curling anyway. But anyway, we're working through that. Now, I don't think there was much downhill skiing or snowboarding or curling during the time of Paul in the early church. He doesn't record it. Doesn't mean it didn't happen, but he never uses it as a reference. We do know, however, that there was a lot of short track and long track foot racing and long distance running, because the Olympics were already something that had happened and ended the first time by the time of the early church. So that idea of running and running marathons and long distance racing and cross country would have been something that people knew about. And Paul must have been familiar with it, because he uses this analogy a lot in his writing. Maybe he was a runner. Maybe he got up early in the morning and ran around Thessalonica or Galatia, wherever he happened to be. Don't know. But he talks about racing always in the context of describing the life of a Christian, especially in the area of faith. Words like run and victory and getting a crown of laurels or olive leaves, as a winning racer would receive back then. Or perseverance in the race are all common themes of Paul. And in Hebrews 12, 1-2, he presents our faith journey as a race, that we must run with endurance, with perseverance, the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. And he says part of our motivation to run this race comes from something he calls the great cloud of witnesses. Great cloud of witnesses. Surrounding the earth, looking down at us, encouraging us in the race. Now, what's interesting about this is, who are these witnesses? Well, we looked at them last week a little bit. Those are the people of faith that have come before us. That's the cloud of witnesses. So in chapter 11, we looked at last week, we have them all, right? We started with Abel, Enoch, Abraham, Moses, Noah. Although I think Noah would have participated in the sailing events, not the running events. But they all ran that race of faith. But it doesn't end there with the folks that I mentioned in chapter 11. It also includes all those who have sat here in these pews over the last 165 years. All that have sat here. People of faith. People who've loved God, believed in Jesus, were guided by the Holy Spirit, who loved one another. They were those who gave themselves first and foremost to being Christ in this community. Their dedication and faith to God's work in this place was unshakable, it was unwavering and unselfish. They were deeply called into following Christ, and the Holy Spirit strengthened them. That's the cloud of witnesses encouraging us here at Dune today. Those that were before us in this place. Now, whenever we start a race, we intend to finish it. Dune's race of faith is not over. We are now in another lap around the track, another mile to run. But God is asking us a question this morning. Will you run with me? When you're out there on the track, on the challenging course, are you with me? In the straightaway, coming down towards the finish line, God is asking, are you with me in this race? Around the curves, Jesus is asking us, are you with me in this race of faith? And all those heavenly witnesses who have gone before are looking down with hope, and they're encouraging us to run the race, each lap, each straightaway, each curve, encouraging us. How will we respond? Will we run the race? Will we persevere toward the goal? Now, there's something buried deep in the book of Hebrews that relates to this. In Hebrews 11:40, there's a line that says, apart from us, they will not be made perfect. And that refers to the cloud of witnesses. The cloud of witnesses around us, encouraging us, won't be made perfect in faith until we win the race, until we cross the finish line. 1 Thessalonians 4:17 says, where Paul says that when the last Christian crosses the finish line of death, Jesus will return, raise us together from the dead, and they, this cloud of witnesses, will be made perfect. So we're not running the race simply for ourselves, simply for our children to come and generations to come. We're running the race for those who've been here so that they may be made perfect. When I cross that finish line, when our parents cross that finish line, when you cross that finish line at the end of the race, and we've done all that we could to be God's people, to be Christ-like in our world, Jesus will return and raise us together, it says, and we will be made perfect together. It's not just about us here as a congregation. It has greater cosmic import. It's part of a bigger plan. What we do here will make those who served before us perfect in the last day. And this morning they are watching us and they are cheering us on, so we'll succeed in God's kingdom. So they will be perfect. It is what we owe to those who came before us. Life is a race. At each leg of life, we run a race. And we are encouraged to go to the line. But when we're in the race, in the middle of that race, it's only us and God. God encouraging us on with that great cloud of witnesses cheering. We are followers of Christ, thus we are hopeful. We build up and encourage one another. And at the end of our sprint, says Paul, the end of our race, we will get a prize, life eternal. And we encourage one another. That's the key. Encourage one another and build up each other, says Paul. We need to be encouraged if we are to run the race. We need encouragement to train, to practice, to compete. So that when we run the race of faith, we'll be in top form and tip-top shape for the race. Jesus told us, in this world you're going to have trouble, am I right? Anybody here living the perfect life? Let me know. No? Okay. We're going to have trouble. We're going to have challenges. But he says, take heart. I will overcome the world. He didn't shy away from telling his followers about the troubles they would face. But Jesus followed his prediction of trouble with a sparkling word of encouragement. He has overcome the world, and he is greater than any trouble that we face. Even the places where we don't experience overt persecution and hatred, where things are not as difficult, we can still be discouraged. It's not an uncommon human experience. At times, recognizing that there is meaning in things that seem inconsequential, we may want to give up. Yet God calls us to be faithful, and he gives us the power to be faithful too. Encouragement makes it easier to live in a world fallen away from God's word. Encouragement makes it easier for us, as it says in Romans, to love as Jesus loved. Romans 15:4, encouragement gives us hope. Encouragement helps us through the times of discipline and testing. Encouragement nurtures patience and kindness. Encouragement makes it easier to sacrifice our own desires to advance God's kingdom. In short, encouragement from one another as Christians makes it easier to live the Christian life. Without that encouragement, life would soon feel pointless and burdensome. Without encouragement, we can feel overwhelmed by the very pains of our lives. Without encouragement, we can feel unloved. But we are encouraged by our faith to run the race. When I was making this line yesterday, this racetrack line, it's to illustrate a story. Last night, a group of us went to the hockey game up the Portraits of Honor hockey game versus that team from Quebec. What's their name? Big city in Quebec. They wear red, blue, and white. Montreal Canadiens. All right. And around the top of that stadium, there was a racetrack. Beautiful racetracks, and you could run around it, and you could walk around it. Really well laid out. But I remember back, how many of you did sports track and field days growing up in school? You remember that? It was compulsory, right? You had to go, whether you liked it or not. I would rather have been somewhere else, but I always had to participate in sports days, as we call them. So I want to picture this, grade 6. And the ultimate race of grade 6 sports day at St. Andrew's School was the grade 6 100-yard dash. That's how old I am. Pre-metric. 100-yard dash. And that was the race everybody wanted to see because the winner of that race was going to be the hero of the school for the year. Now, in grade 6 at the St. Andrews, there were 36 boys. There was 3 heats of 12. It was compulsory, and you had to run your heat. However it happened, I ended up in the final race. I was simply there to get the best participants, one of those participant ribbons, right? I was running for experience. Simple as that. So it's the last race. It's June. It's very hot. It's a cinder track, if you know what those are. Made out of cinders, you can feel the aroma of the cinder rising up from the track, right? And you can't, but you're not focused on that. I'm focused on one thing. I am here. That's the finish line. Don't want to embarrass myself. There's 12 of us. I'm good God with 10. I can live with 11, but please, I don't want 12. So I go to run the race, and we get to the finish line. Now, the person who was supposed to win this race was my cousin, Barry. Barry came from the tall side of the family. The very tall side of the family. And he was quite tall back then. And he was the athlete, right? He was on the basketball team. He was on all the sports teams. He ran track. And we had to run. So we come up to the finish line. We get up to our spots. I think I had somewhere between 1 and 12, I can't remember exactly. But I remember this day as if I was there. And I come up to the finish line, I'm looking at everybody, I'm like, hello Barry, he's right next to me. Like, this is testing, could this get any challenging? So I'm up to the finish line, and we do your on your mark, you get in position, right, get set, and we start running. And time stands still. If you ever run competitively, you know what that's like in a sprint run. You come and the time stands still. It's really interesting because you're all moving at the same time, but you're all relatively in the same place. So we're coming up. I could hear people cheering. I could see people cheering on all sides. I could see the teachers at the end of the race calling me forward and calling us forward, but I couldn't hear them. They were a great cloud of witnesses. I could see them, but I could not hear them, but I knew they were there. And we're running, and we're running. And I'm like, this is taking forever. It's only 100 yards. And I'm like, we're 5 minutes into this. And I'm like, why is it taking so long? And I start to look around. I figure, I must be at the end. And I look, okay, nobody there. I look, hi, Barry, how are you doing? And I'm like, Barry, wait now. You're supposed to be there. He was the guy who was supposed to win the race. And I stopped, and for a split second I can remember Barry looked over at me, he waved his hair, he looked over at me, and he said, you know, what are you doing in my race? More or less. And I realized at that moment I was in the lead. I was so fearful, I guess, of coming last, so wanting to do my very best, that I was in the lead, and I just found a spark of energy, and I ran so hard that I mowed down 5 or 6 teachers at the end of the finish line. And won the 100-meter dash for that year. And it's... And that's the last race I've ever won. But what it showed me, I could race. What it showed me, I could run. It showed me I could win. It shows me that we can race. That we can run. That we can win that race of faith here at Dune and in our lives. If I can win the grade 600 yard dash, I am sure we can win the race of faith. It was a pretty low bar. And God showed that even in that, we can win. Or showed me that we could win. So here's the question. Are we going to come up to the line and run the race? Are we going to come up to the line and run the race? Do we want that first place ribbon of faith, again pretending it's red? Do we want that first place ribbon of faith? Do we want to do even more for the kingdom of God? Well now, it's time. It's time to come up to the line, to put our feet in the blocks, to focus on the race that marked out before us, and we can encourage one another and run with perseverance the race marked out for us each and every day. With faith in God, forgetting what is behind us and straining what is ahead. And with God's faith in us, we can press on toward the goal to win the prize, for which God has called us heavenward in Christ Jesus. Amen.